coming and having an interest in worship. The Lord likes it real good. And I really appreciate it. I appreciate the Holy Ghost. And I just like it when he passes by, whether it be for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 3 hours, 4 hours, whatever it may be. And I appreciate just the sweet presence of God this morning. And we don't want to take that lightly, do we? But we've got just about 15 minutes here, and we'll try to share just a little something with you anyway. Go with me to, we'll just continue on in 1 John chapter number 2. We're coming down to the close of this chapter. And throughout this whole thing, there's just been a consistent instruction in how to live the Christian life. What the fellowship between the believer and God should be. And he just continues that as we go on in verse number 24 of chapter 2. The Bible says, "Let therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning still remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we shall have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." And so I really appreciate, man, John, the Holy Ghost through John just brings this down on a real low level here for us to understand, and I really appreciate the truths that I've found in this book. But he says in verse 24, once again, let therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. So notice the first thing that he's saying in this passage is that our progress as a Christian is very important. We are not to take what we hear, Brother Rick, and just drop it. But he says, let therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. There's not to be ever a time, Doug, that we hear the truth of God's Word and we just ignore it and drop it by the wayside somewhere. But it is supposed to be able to take up abode and residence on the inside of every one of us. And the expectation of this is that he says, if that which you've heard from the beginning shall remain in you. He says, if you keep what I have committed to you, the truth of God's Word, if you'll keep that and allow that to do something in your heart, guess what will happen? He says, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. If you allow the Word of God to do what it will do, it will allow you to continue. That means to progress, to keep moving forward in this thing. One of the things that I believe that God does not like is somebody who claims to be a Christian but yet never progresses anywhere in this thing. And we've got a lot of that today. We've got a lot of people that say they've been saved for a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 30 years, Joe, and yet see no progress. But the job of the Christian is to take the truths that the Holy Ghost puts on the inside of them and progress to be more like Christ. And there's no chance in this world that you get around this book and you start applying this book to your life that you'll stay where you're at. It is an impossibility for you to remain in the same state and be taking in this book. Dustin, it don't matter if it's one verse, if it's the whole thing, whether you read a sentence a day, if you are putting this inside of you, you cannot remain the same. We said this in Bible school over and over again, Psalm 119:11, Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Folks, you cannot put this word on the inside and it not make a change. But it's so important that, you notice that first word, we point this out a lot. He says, let. What he's saying is to allow it. The problem is, a lot of times we let everything else and not let Him. We crowd out what God wants to do in our lives, but yet we allow the world to have its way with us. But He says that we ought to let, therefore, abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. In other words, the truths that you have been taught. Don't crowd out what God has put in. 2 Thessalonians 3:1 says, Finally, my brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have what? Free course. And be glorified even as it is with you. Now, I understand that if you're reading that book, you know that Paul is requesting them to pray for him. That as he goes out, Dustin, and preaches the gospel, that the word will go where it needs to go. But I could apply this personally to my life. And I can pray this for me, and we ought to pray this for each and every one of us, that God's Word would have free course, not just as it goes out there, but as it comes right in here. And when you look at that word free, that means without restraint. God's Word in our lives should not be restrained. And how often do we say, Lord, I'll take that verse, but this one right here, I'm not going to take. But the Bible says that His word is to have free course. That word course means direction, a moving forward.
Yes.
It should never be going backwards, and it should never be staying where you're at. But when God's word is working in our lives, guess where our path is supposed to be? It is supposed to be without restraint, moving forward by the word of God. And I guarantee this word is more powerful than any restraint that will come at you from the outside.
That's right.
But the point is, we've got to let it have its free course. Problem is, we take what we like and we throw out what we don't like.
Yep.
Oftentimes, right. I do it in my life, and I guarantee every one of you do it in yours. There's some things, Jesse, it's just, I'd rather ignore it than to deal with it in my life. This flesh, there's some things in this Bible that it just don't like. My spirit loves it. And it says, that's right, amen. But every time, just like Paul says, when I would do good, evil is present with me. Man, he said he does the things he would not. He don't do the things that he would. Why is that? Because it's a warfare. It's a constant warfare. We could let the Word of God have its free course. What a difference it would make in the progress in our lives. And thank God, I believe this, that we've seen some fruits lately of some people that are interested in God's Word having free course. God don't just out of the blue save as many as He saved in the last month without something have happened. I believe there's been some people praying. There's been some people interested in seeking God. And when we get interested in God having His way, there's no telling what we're liable to see. And I appreciate that. But the Lord wants us to progress in this thing. He does not want us to back up, doesn't want us to stand still. I understand there's times in battle that we stand, but our overall progression needs to be forward. And Colossians 2:6-7 says, As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Does that sound like somebody that's supposed to be still? No. We're supposed to abound. We're supposed to move forward. We're supposed to grab a hold and move. And that's what we're supposed to do. Peter said, 2 Peter 3:18, we say this a lot, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Folks, I beg and plead with you today, if you're somebody that's been saved for any number of years, you're just settling for what you are, I just beg you today to pay attention to what God said. And we've already read it, but we'll deal with it later, but you don't want to be ashamed at His coming. If He's entrusted you with the great treasure of salvation, the Holy Ghost dwelling on the inside, for you to just sit on that thing and squelch it and never do anything, never accomplish anything, I just can't imagine what it's going to be like at His coming when He looks at somebody that's been saved and they've never done anything for Christ. You better believe we're going to stand in judgment. No, I'm not going to be judged for my sin. Christ was punished for my sin. But there's going to be a lot of people ashamed at the coming of Christ, I'm afraid. This ain't real happy stuff, but that's the reality of what this book teaches. I'm afraid that some of us here might be ashamed at His coming. If He were to come today, right now, and you knew that today my time to do anything for Christ is over, are you ready to see Him? John said, even so come, Lord Jesus. Paul said, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. But he knew what was laid up for him, Joe. There was no question in Paul's mind. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Finished my course. He understood that he had given it all. In fact, he told us, didn't he? He said, I've counted everything but dung. He lived his life in a way that he'd win Christ.
Right.
Even though he already had Christ, he lived his life as though he was continually winning Christ. That's the way I read that. I don't know. He doesn't count it as though he had already apprehended. But this one thing I do, he said. Right? He just kept pressing. He kept working. There was progress in the life of Paul. But what about us? Where's the progress in our lives? Do you have a greater desire for Christ today than you did a year ago? Than you did the day you got saved? Your desire for Christ today ought to be better than the day you got saved. It ought to be. A lot of us look back and we say, man, I was really on fire when I got born again. I don't know what's happened to me. We just failed to take this book and let God do what He wants to do for us. But don't settle. If you'll allow this word to get in on the inside of you, it will accomplish something. Isaiah 55:11, you all know this verse. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. How does it do that? Well, Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, right? Piercing what even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. His word is powerful. And if we'll let it have its free course, let it cut where it wants to cut, divide where it wants to divide, and we need some division.
Yep.
In this modern day that we live,
preach.
We've got all this ecumenicalism.
Yep.
And we feel like we need to be unified with things that we ought not be united with.
Right.
I'm for unity in the body of Christ. But not over things that we ought not unify over.
Right.
And there comes a time where there has to be divisions made and lines drawn,
right,
that say we're not going to cross this one.
Yep. That's right.
Right? We're not stepping back. I don't want to go back. I want to progress. We want to be holier tomorrow than we were today.
Yes.
We can't do that by going backwards. And we can't do that by shutting this book. and not being interested in what it has to say. And I don't know about you, I want to continue in the Son, and I want to continue in the Father. But that only comes through being willing to let Him have His way with us. And I don't know any other, I really don't know any other way to have that happen than to take this book for what it says and let the Holy Ghost that's on the inside highlight verses as you read them and say, Dustin, you see this one right here? This is one that you need help in. I don't know about you, every time I read it, that happens to me. I don't know that I could ever go a day and read this book and not say, oh me. I mean, you go to the book of Psalms and you read about his just praise, and you can think, man, I'm not praising enough. You go to Psalm 119, you think, well, all that is about the Word of God. Well, I'm not getting enough of the Word of God. I'm not esteeming it as high as I should. I mean, it don't matter what subject you look at. Whether it's giving, you could always give more. Whether it be losing, you could always lose more. Whatever you look at in the Scripture, it does not matter. If you will let God's Word have its course, it'll make a difference. And every one of us needs it. Man, it's quiet in here, ain't it? I was enjoying all the praise. But that comes at a cost. We cannot have the presence of God right here all the time and not be willing to let God's Word have free course. We can't do it without Him, can we?
No.
My prayer, if you're ever up here with me on a Sunday morning, if you get down beside me and you hear me pray, I try to pray this every time. Lord, I can't do this without You, and I have no interest in trying.
Right.
I pray that every time I pray about standing up here, I have no interest in getting up here without God helping me. And I'd rather Him strike me down right there, hold me down to that pew. I'd rather what happen, and just go on and let me sit where I'm at than to get up here without Him. And I take it very seriously. And I thank Him for helping us. But this thing comes at a cost to the flesh. It will cost your flesh to go after God. But if you're willing to deny your flesh and feed your spirit, God will make a huge difference in your life. And I found Him faithful to do that in my life. I'm nowhere close to where I want to be. But I've seen Him do some mighty special things in my life. And I don't know how to explain it. Unless you've ever experienced it, you don't know what I'm talking about. There's been some times God's illuminated some things in this Word. And I've said, Lord, I'll do my best to try to just follow You, no matter what it costs. And every time, Jerry, He's given me more than what I thought I had to begin with. I don't know how that works. But it's like, You choose to go with the Lord. I know our time's up, and I'll quit. But every time you choose to go after the Lord, it's almost as if He changes your desire. Something that you used to desire. If you make up the decision, I don't know how it works, Kevin, but if you choose to take that thing that you had on a pedestal up here for so long, and you're willing to just lower that thing, get it out of the way, and let God do this. What you used to desire over here, that desire just starts going away. And your desire for the things of God gets bigger. I don't know how to explain that. I don't know how that God can start changing your flesh to have different desires. And I guess it's really not your flesh. It's just your flesh is getting smaller and smaller while the Spirit of God gets bigger and bigger. But if you start feeding that flesh again, you know what happens? Some of those old desires, those old things that you used to struggle with, guess what will happen? It's just a constant battle. But if we'll let God's Word have free course, I don't know how to say that any different. Just let this do what it can do in your life and my life. And tell them what we'd see. Real simple, Doug. Real simple truth. Very hard to live. We can only do it by the help of the Lord. You cannot live this thing without Christ. And while I'm saying that, if you're here and you're not saved, never been born again, you cannot live it. You can't fix yourself. You can read this word all you want to and try to get better and better and better. But until you have Christ, the liver, on the inside, you can't live it. I was going to get there. We didn't get there, but Christ is our life. And he's the only means of our life. If you're going to live, guess how you'll live? Through Christ. So I appreciate you this morning that showed up. We'll have prayer room.